Okay. We're not going to do everything on the sheet. However, I do hope to do a lot of it. Bezrat Hashem. We'll see how it goes. I'd like to address a constellation of ideas and sources and insights that relate to Yosef and his relationship to his brothers. The focus being on Yosef more than on the brothers, although we'll take a quick look at the brothers as well. But we're really focusing on Yosef. I know that there are many ways to understand Yosef and that various mefarshim, etc. I'd like to develop a particular approach that I think is Pshuto Shel Mikra. Obviously, there are others, try and present it as I see it. And there are certain things that I think are, as far as I'm concerned, clear that this is what the pshat is, and other things I'm going to suggest as a possible direction that a little further, you'll see. In the course of doing so, I'll also see some things about pshat and drash and how to understand midrash, and so I think it's going to be very worthwhile. To begin with, it says that... Start with Pasuk Bet, Ela Todo Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvasre Shana, Yoreh Techa Batzon, Vunar et Bnei Vilha, et Bnei Zilpa, Neshe Aviv, Vavei Yosef et Dibatam Ra'al Avihem. And continues, Vyisrael Ahav et Yosef Mikol Banav, Kiven Zekunim Hulo, Vaasalo Ketor Pasim, Vyiru Echav, Ki Oto Ahav Avihem Mikol Echav, Vyisnu Oto, Vlo Yachlu Dabro L'Shalom. Much rest in the story of Yosef on some very, very subtle points, on some nuances. Tiny details that make all the difference in the world. Let me give you a few examples, and we'll see a number of them as we go on, but let's start with a couple of them. First of all, there are several things that are pointed out by one of the great, great Mefarshim on Chumash, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, that we need to take note of. Point number one. These first two points come from Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, or along the lines at least of what he suggests, and then we're going to build on and add a little bit from the Netziv, and then from there we're going to go further afield. But let's start with the following. Two observations. Okay, these are not my points. These are essential from Rav David Tzvi Hoffman. Number one, we're going to try and develop and build on it. Number one, Kyoto Ahav. Okay, it says that first of all, that v'Yisrael ahav et Yosef mikol banav, and the next pasuk says, v'yiru echav ki oto ahav avihem mikol echav. Okay, so it says, v'Yisrael ahav et Yosef. Mikol. Okay, the first pasuk, mikol banav. Okay. The second pasuk says that his brothers see that ki oto ahav aviv mikol mikol echav. Okay, this first pasuk tells us the objective reality, but the second pasuk, and obviously I'm paraphrasing, but the second one is a subjective perception of the brothers. It's a very important distinction. Because although the same word mikol is used, and deliberately so, in the two psukim, there's a very, very big difference in how you translate mikol if it's mikol banav and mikol echav. Okay, why? Because in the phrase mikol banav, is Yosef one of the sons of Yaakov?
Yeah.
In the phrase mikol echav, is Yosef one of his brothers?
Yeah.
Is Yosef one of his brothers?
No.
Can't be one of his own brothers, right? Because he's not one of his brothers, right? It's Yosef, and the brothers are his brothers. But the point being that here we have, right, banav, and Yosef is here, and here you have Yosef and echav. Okay, mikol has a different meaning, therefore, because in one case it's relative to, but in one case it's relative to echad, meaning
the reality is that Yaakov loves Yosef mikol banav, means from amongst all of the children of Yaakov, the one that is most favored. Right? But mikol here means from amongst. Okay? It's not two separate groups. It's not that there's Yosef as opposed to the others. Not saying that that Yaakov loves Yosef as opposed to the brothers. It means that amongst all of them, the favored one is Yosef. But Mikol Echav, there's a juxtaposition between Yosef and his brothers, and then it means that he loves Yosef more than the other brothers.
But how's that not what the first one is saying?
No, the first one is saying that he loves him most from amongst all the brothers. So in other words, this indicates that there are two categories. There's Yosef and there are the brothers. Here, there's just a category of Banav, but from within that category, Yosef is the favored one amongst them. Meaning that the perception of the brothers, okay, and this is the Nafkmir, it's tremendous. Then the perception of the brothers is that Yaakov is choosing Yosef. The perception of the brothers is that he's choosing Yosef as opposed to the other brothers. Right? Which explains a lot about why there's such a violent reaction to this favoritism. As opposed to the reality, which is that no, they're all chosen, but from amongst them, the number one is Yosef. There's a vast difference between them. As remember, the brothers grow up, the reality they grow up with is you have Yishmael and Yitzhak, right? That's generation number two. Generation number three, you have Yaakov and Esau. There was a struggle in each case. There's one person's in, one person's out. It's a question of who is chosen. And that's their perception of how life works. But the reality is, that's a very different story. And you're going to see how this plays out over the course of the next few minutes in some, Okay, let's leave that in the back burner. That's one point. Second subtlety. It says that Yosef, Vayave Yosef et dibatam ra'ah el abihem. Okay? It says that Yosef brought these reports about what they were doing wrong, el avihem. Critical. Not
aviv.
Exactly. Not aviv, but avihem. Okay, which says a lot about his motive. Right? If Yosef is trying to, as the brothers perceive it, trying to push them aside, trying to cut them out. So then, who does he go to? Who would he be going to say, I'm better than them. Look at me. They're doing things wrong. Who would he be bringing the debate to? Aviv, his father. Right? Now, obviously, in reality, his father and their father are the same person. But the question is the perspective. That it's not that he goes to his father to say, Dad, they're bad, I'm good. But rather, he's going to their father, meaning he's going to try to get their father to correct what they're doing wrong. He's going to their father because there are things that have to be dealt with, there are things that have to be corrected. Okay, you'll see this more clearly as we go on, but just again, second observation with Darcy Hoffman. Pachor Yoter. Okay? There are other parshim as well, but
he's like excluding himself from that one.
In this case, what I'm saying is that his motive is not to go to his father and build himself up at their expense, but he's going to their father, meaning for the purpose of their father correcting it. Right? In other words, it's a very different type of motive. Okay, so this on the back burner. We turn to the tzitz. The tzitz is like beautiful, which is the following. We go a little bit further, and it says, "V'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom." Okay, "V'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom." So the classical explanation that we all grow up with is that they weren't able to speak peacefully to him. However, the Netziv suggests an incredible reading of this passage, which I think is so brilliant. He says as follows, V'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom means that they could not stand, they couldn't tolerate dabro l'shalom, his, Yosef's, speaking peacefully to them. Meaning that Yosef was saying things that were positive to them. Yosef had good intentions in what he said to them. But they were so, they had this filter, that they had this lens to which they saw what Yosef was doing, that they couldn't stand, even though he was saying words of shalom, their reaction was to take it in a very different way. We'll see exactly what that It means Ezra Hashem is going on, but this is the Netziv. Okay, Adkan, just want to put on the table a few things from the Farshim, then we're going to move forward based on the Pesukim and see where this takes us. Okay. One of the strangest things about the story is that Yosef, this is a different discussion, but Yosef is, if I'm not mistaken, well, there are several people who are highlighted in Tanakh for their Chachma. But there are two individuals where we have the formulation that they are uniquely Chachamim, more than anybody else in their generation. And Shlomo, who is not our issue right now, the other is Yosef. Yosef is, you know, pointed out at least by Paro as being, you know, greater Chacham than anyone else. And you look at this, and it's so strange. He knows it's obvious that they're jealous of him. He knows that they hate him. And so what does he do? He goes, and not once, but twice, goes and tells them these dreams. It's a strange thing to do, right? You know, like, let me tell you about how you're going to bow down to me, and, you know, and that's going to make them, you know, less jealous. What's he trying to do? So I think that we have to at least understand a little bit where Yosef is coming from, why, and this is really connects to the Netziv v'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. The Netziv, by the way, is over here, the Hamik Davar, right in the middle of the page. You can see for yourselves the Netziv. But I'd like to build on a little bit. So the Chalamot of Yosef, we will see, Be'ezrat Hashem, as we go on, what these Chalamot are all about, and you'll understand why he does what he does, but la'at la'at. Okay. Maybe we better address it now for a moment. Oh, I'll address it now for a moment. The dreams that Yosef has, let's turn to side two for a moment. We'll add for it. Dreams that Yosef has, we'll turn back to side one, Be'ezrat Hashem, in a few minutes. There's an incredible pasuk. And I know this is not how, you know, the standard way of understanding it, but I'd like to point out something about the pasuk. Vayizkor Yosef et hachalamot asher chalam lahem. Vayomer lehem raglim atem lirot et tivrat haaretz batem. Yosef remembers the dreams asher chalam lahem. What's a simple translation of asher chalam lahem?
They dreamt for them,
right? Now we could translate that if you look at different targumim, there are different translations of it. But the simplest translation is that he dreamt for them, not about them, but for them. Asher chalam lahem. What does that mean? So I'd like to show you what that means, that he had dreams for his brothers. Okay, we know what it means to have a dream for someone else, right? Watch Yosef's dreams that he has about them. Why is there a dream for them? So let's take a look. Where's the dream that Yosef has? Right? What's the dream that Yosef has? So let's turn back to side one for a moment. The dream that Yosef has, amongst other things, there are a number of parts of dreams, but one of the dreams that he has for his brothers is the following. Let's see who can tell me why there's a dream for them. Okay? Please take a look very carefully. Take a look very carefully at Pasuk Tet. Okay, Perek Lam Zayin, Pasuk Tet. Vayachalom od chalom acher, vayisaper oto lechav. Vayomer, hinei chalamti chalom od, vihinei ha-shemesh, vayareach, vachay sar kochavim mishtachavim li. Let me tell you, why is that a dream for the brothers? That's why it's a dream about them, but why is it a dream for them? You understand what I mean by the difference between the two? Why is this a dream for them?
Because they're stars.
Okay, so why is that significant?
The potential. Yes. That stars.
What's the significance? Go ahead, finish up. We'll get to everybody.
That they have like heights and that they have like chashivut.
Okay, good. There's more to it than that. Yeah, go ahead.
When Avraham was told about his children, he was told that your children will be as many as the stars.
Is that what you want to say?
I was just going to say that, like, that means that they're part of it. Like, it's not like that, like, he's like the main part of them. But, like,
so I think there's truth, right? So there's truth to all this, but I think that the key, and at least what I'd like to emphasize in a moment, is the point that you just made, which is that, remember, throughout Bereishit, and you can take a look on the other side now for a moment, in Perek Tetvav, and again, Perek Chavbet, right? One of the descriptions of the descendants of Abram, one of the descriptions of Am Yisrael, speaking a little anachronistically, obviously. But one of the descriptions of Zera Avraham is that they'll be like Kochvei Hashemayim. If Yosef is dreaming that his brothers are the 11 stars, what's he saying about them? Right, that they are going to be the continuation of the bracha of Avram, and that's tremendous. It means that and that explains when it says that Yosef remembers at Chalamot Asher Chalam Lahem, he remembers the dreams they had for them, and therefore he puts them through this whole rigmarole with Binyamin and everything, right? And as the Barbanel and other Mefarshim explain, he's giving them opportunity to do tshuva for Mechirat Yosef. You have to understand. You have to understand that Yosef is doing this because of the Chalamot Asher Chalam Lahem. Yosef's dream was that he should be able to help his brothers to be worthy to be the successors to Avram and Yitzhak and Yaakov. That they should be the Kochvei HaShemayim, they should be the Achasar Kochavim. That's the dream he had for them. And that's why he does everything else. That's why Vayaveti Batam Ra'alavayim. That's why he puts them through this. If we don't understand that, we don't begin to understand Yosef. And therefore, when Yosef goes to them and he tells them the dreams, and the dreams are about the fact that there are going to be these bushels, and his bushel is going to be in the mill. What's that dream about? It's not about how he's going to be the boss. It's about how he's going to, we know how the story ends. He's going to sit in jail for years. Why? He's going to be sold into slavery. Why? And it's all okay. Why? Because he's going to provide food for them. Right? He's going to take care of their physical needs. And he has this dream about the stars. He's going to take care of their spiritual needs. He's going to be the one who's going to help them to realize their potential as the Zera Avram. He has these incredible dreams for them. And yes, he's going to be the leader. But what does it mean that he's going to be the leader? It means that he's going to suffer more than any of them. It means that he's going to have the hardest life of all of them. He's going to have the most misery and pain because he's going to do it for them. Because that's what it means to be a leader. And therefore, he goes to them and he says, guys, you're jealous of me. You don't listen to these dreams. Right? They can't hear it. They can't hear what he's saying. They don't get it because there's too much jealousy and there's too much resentment and it just doesn't work. Okay, but then I'm not primarily interested in discussing their side. I'm interested at the moment in discussing where Yosef is coming from. But the point is, Yosef is not stupid. And Yosef is far from it. And Yosef is not, you know, silly or self-absorbing. He's going and saying that I want to tell you my dreams. He wants to tell them the dreams because these are dreams that express beautifully. If you really are able to hear it, they express beautifully how Yosef wants to do everything for his brothers and how he has such wonderful dreams for them. And he wants to take care of them physically, spiritually, in every sense. And far from wanting to cut them out of the picture, he's going to see to it that they're not going to get cut out of the picture. Because if it weren't for Yosef, after Mechirat Yosef, that's it. They've lost their, many of them certainly have lost their share. But Yosef's going to give them the chance to do tshuva. Okay, and we'll see more about this as we go on. Yeah?
I'm asking a silly question. Was Binyamin born yet?
At what point?
At this point of the jealous, like of Yosef being the most loved.
Yosef, Binyamin, yeah. At this point?
Yeah, like it says that like he was most loved because he was a child. He bends
his arm. Called dad already?
Yeah, he must have been more. So why is Yosef chosen to like be...
Well, that's discussed, actually. Farshim discussed why is he Ben Zekunim? What is meant by Ben Zekunim, etc.? There are a lot of different opinions.
Okay,
okay. So let's continue a little bit. And let's now move to a fascinating midrash. It's a famous midrash. We all know this midrash. It describes how when Yosef is going to be reunited with his father, he sends these agalot. And the midrash says, by Elumi Mitzrayim, by Gidulo Lemor, Od Yosef Chai, by Apid Libo, Rabbi Levi Shem, Rabbi Yochanan, Mashal Amar Lahem. So Amar Lahem, Yosef had said to them, Im Ya'amin Lachem Hare Mutab, if Yaakov Avinu believes that I'm alive, wonderful. Vim lav atem omrim lo b'sha'ash, shepirashti mimcha, lo b'parashat egla arufa hiti osek, hadal d'chtiv, v'yart ha'galot, v'atachi ruach Yaakov Avinu. Okay, famous midrash. Yaakov, when does he believe that Yosef is alive? Right, he says it can't be. Od Yosef chai b'chiyom al shevach al eretz Mitzrayim, can't be. So what does he say? I see the Agalot. We were learning the parasha of Egla Rufa back in Eretz Yisrael, back before Yosef was taken into slavery. Okay, it's really Yosef, because I see the Agalot. And this is one of those midrashim that you look and go like, what? First of all, where does it say that they were learning the parsha of Egla Arufa, which is in Sefer Dvarim? And, you know, like, what? Egla Arufa? Where do you get that from, that there even was a parsha of Egla Arufa, let alone that they were, even you want to assume that there was, but how do you know that they were seeing and learning? Just because he sent Agalot. And what are Agalot? What are Agalot?
Wagons.
Wagons. And what's an Egla Arufa? It's a calf, right? It's not the same word, right? I used to say it's a play on words, beseda, but it's a little strange, you know? It doesn't say that he hears about the agalot. He sees the agalot. Okay, it's a little bit of a stretch. And where, you know, where they get this from? It sounds so strange, right? It sounds like a little, it's like, you know, it's like it's stretching things a bit. Where does this come from? So I want to show you that this is Mamish Pshad, but before we can get to Pshad, but of course you have to understand, again, you have to understand the poetry of the Midrash. It's beautiful what the Midrash is saying, but you have to understand the Midrash properly, and you have to understand the Pesukim properly. But first I want to maybe intensify the questions that we need to ask here just a little bit. And I want to suggest something, which I know is not the conventional way, perhaps, of looking at it, but I really believe that there is something to it. And one can explain it, you know, or one can formulate it in slightly different ways to varying degrees. I'm going to say in an extreme way. Okay, one could say in a more toned down way, and that's fine, and no problems with that. But I'm going to say in an extreme way just to counterbalance the way it's usually said. I want to suggest that if we read the parashiyot, and it's very hard to talk about the Yosef story in one parasha, it's like kind of you have to talk about the whole conglomerate of it together, different facets of it, but you look at the Yosef story, there are many clues, I think, there are many clues that suggest, there's much evidence that suggests, when sitting down, that Yaakov knows all along that Yosef is alive. There's much reason to think that Yaakov knows that Yosef is alive. Okay? Let me give you a few indications. Don't throw anything yet. Wait till you hear the proof. Okay? Look at the Pesukim. Number one. I'm going to start with what I think is the most convincing. Breishit Perek Mem Dalet Pasuk Chafret. Everyone see it? Mem Dalet Chafret. It's like right under the... It's on the first side, in the second box. It's the second... No, third source. Third source on in the second box. Okay? Vayitze ha'echad me'iti. Okay, it's a quote from Yaakov, right? That one of them, the one left me, meaning Yosef, va'omar ach tarof torach, and I said that he was nitraf, right? V'lo re'iti v'adhena, and I haven't seen him to this point. Now I ask you, okay, if you look at that pasuk without any preconceived notions, does this sound like someone who's talking about someone who they believe is dead?
No.
Right. Look at the pasuk. First of all, va'omar ach tarof torav. Is that the point, that he said that he was killed? The point is that he was killed, right? If Yaakov really believes, why is he quoting himself? Right? And number two, v'lo re'itiv anheina, why does he expect to see him again if he's dead? Right? What does it mean? He died, you know, back then, and he still hasn't come back home. What does that mean? Of course, v'lo re'itiv anheina, this is a little strange thing to say. This pasuk, to my mind, is talking about someone who is missing, right? Who is someplace, I don't know where, I don't know what his fate is, I don't know what happened to him, I don't know when I'm going to see him again, if I'm going to see him again. That's what the pasuk sounds like it's talking about, not someone who I'm convinced is dead. That's number one. Number one. Number two. When Shimon is held prisoner in Mitzrayim, in Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Yaakov Avinu says that Hashem should, you know, cause you to find favor in the eyes of this person, who in fact is Yosef, but we don't know it's Yosef, okay? V'shilach lachem et achichem acher v'et Binyamin. And Hashem should you know, send back et achichem acher, your other brother, and Binyamin. Who's the other brother? Who is this other brother? I mean, are we saying that Yaakovinu, right, can't remember Shimon's name? Like Shimon is being held prisoner in Mitzrayim, and like he can't even, like his name's just like, you know, that other brother, what's his name? What is that? Isn't that so bizarre? Isn't that so bizarre? I know, but like, isn't this the son who he's like, should be very concerned about because he's being held prisoner by the viceroy in Mitzrayim and like, et achichem acher? And Binyamin? I mean, I understand, okay, Shimon's not his favorite son, but still. So what's the pshat? Who is achichem meant to allude to besides Shimon? Not the exclusion of Shimon, but who else does it allude to? Someone else who's called exactly that is called achichem acher, namely Yosef. Right? Yosef refers to achichem acher, and it's not, you know, I think that certainly that Yosef, that Yaakov, when in the front of his mind, the back of his mind, the middle of his mind, whatever it is, someplace there is the hope, if not the knowledge, that there's potential for Yosef to still return home. Okay? Let me give you another example. Perek Memhei, the second source in this box. Ulaviv shalach kazot asara chamorim nosim mituv mitzrayim v'esrat tonot nosot bar v'lechem mazon laviv v'derach v'eshlach et achav v'elchu v'yomer lehem al tekzu v'derach. Okay, and then it goes on to say that wrong source. That's not the one I wanted to look at. No, I'm just wrong source. Let's go down. I apologize. It says in Mem Gimel Yud Aleph. That's the one I wanted to look at. Now we'll come back to Mem Hei in a little bit. That's Hashem. But Mem Gimel Yud Aleph, Yosef sends back to Yaakov Me'at Sari U'Me'at Vash Nechot Valot Botnim Ushkedem. Okay. So help me out here.
Give me the list.
Sari.
Okay, Sari, yeah.
Dvash.
Okay, Dvash, yeah. Go ahead.
Vlad. That's
again.
What's
Nechot?
Sari,
Dvash,
Nechot,
yeah, go on.
What is Vlad? I don't know.
Vlad.
Here, again. Ma'at Sari, a little bit of Sari, a little bit of Dvash. Nechot, Valot, okay. Nechot and Lot, yes. What else?
But
okay, now I deliberately wrote it this way for a reason. Because the things that you have here fall into two categories. Okay? There are these spices, okay, and there are these food items. Okay? Now, if we remove the food items for a moment, okay, because we'll see. If we remove the food item for just a second, the remaining items, okay, where do you recognize this from? These are the same things that the caravan that brings Yosef down to Mitzrayim had, right? It's very interesting how, you know, and what's the addition? Addition is food, right? And one wonders about the nonverbal communication that's going on here between Yosef and... No, I'm sorry, this is what's sent down from Yaakov to Yosef, right? So this is what Yaakov says they should take down. It says, take with you a little bit of tzari, dvash, nechol. Now, the whole point is that, right, if we look, there are two components here. One component is the things that accompanied Yosef down to Mitzrayim, and the other thing is food, which is very suggestive that Yaakov should send Davka. This list makes you wonder if he maybe knows more than, right, more than we think he knows. Okay, this is a salty, but I think it's a very fascinating one. Because Yaakov sends this to Yosef, right? Excuse me. Yaakov's to Yosef.
He sends it
to Yosef? To Yosef, right.
As viceroy? Or does he already know it's Yosef?
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't know it's Yosef.
So it's not really to Yosef, it's just with the shrug.
Send, go send out to this person, to the viceroy, these items. Now that person is Yosef. He's saying, and what are those items? It's the stuff that was with Yosef going down to Mitzrayim, which is fascinating because remember the Chazal about how this wasn't the normal cargo, right? This was special for Yosef. And then in addition, we have the issue of food, which is of course what this, the whole discussion is about. So it's just very fascinating. Like, does Yaakov perhaps know more than we think he knows, right? And we know that Yaakov is a Navi. The question is, what does he have to go about and whatnot? Okay, so I'm suggesting maybe more rather than less. Okay, let's go a little step further. And this one, yeah. Oh, we're getting there. You're ahead of me. That's already the question. I just have to give you the basis for asking the question. And then, Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Yud. This is an interesting one. When Yaakov has his critique of Yosef's dream, right, back in Perek Lamed Zayin, critique of the dream, and he says, what? Havo navo aniv imcha v'achecha l'shtachavot l'cha arza? So I want to ask you a question. I understand where Yaakov got almost everything from. Okay? I understand. Right? And remember, if Yaakov doesn't know any more than we think he knows, okay, and his only source of information is the dream, so everything that he says should have a corresponding component in the dream. So look at his interpretation. Okay, look at his interpretation of the dream and see how it compares to the dream itself. What is the dream itself? So the dream itself was that, what? Pasuk tet, v'hine ha-shemesh v'yareach v'achar asar kochavim mishtachavim li. That's the dream. So the shemesh is Yaakov. The areach is Achel, similarly. Okay, the mishtachavim li, and the achasar kochavim are the achecha. Good. So I understand ani v'imcha v'achecha. Mishtachavim l'cha arza. But what I don't get is havo navo ani. Where do you get the idea that they're going to go to Yosef? Where's that in the dream? It says v'hine hashemesh v'yareach. We're all standing there. Right? Remember, at this point, where is everyone back in Perek Lamed Zayin? Where is everyone? They're all in Eretz Yisrael. They're all together, right? They aren't in different places. Why is anyone going to Yosef to bow down to him? And what happens in the end? What happens in the end when they bow down to him? They all go to Yosef to bow down to him. Correct? So I ask you again, does Yaakov know perhaps more than we tend to give him credit for? And it's fascinating, the reaction to the dream. What's Yaakov's reaction to the dream? What's Yaakov's reaction to the dream? Va'aviv shamar et hadavar. And a different interpretation of what that means. One understanding of va'aviv shamar et hadavar, which is probably on target, is that Yaakov is waiting for the fulfillment of the dream. Yaakov believes that this is real nevuah, that this is really what's going to happen. And if Yaakov believes that this is really what's going to happen, it's clear that Yosef has to still be alive. Right? Understand what I'm saying? So if nothing else, based on his dream and his insight into it, etc., it's pretty clear that Yaakov has every reason to believe that Yosef is still alive. Of course, Ariel asks, the question then becomes, so why is it such a shock? Why is Yaakov Avinu so incredulous that Yosef is still alive? And I think, yes, please.
Maybe because he might be like a lonely person and not such high like stature.
Why?
Because he was an eminent. He was like an eminent.
Okay. I think it's the right direction, but I think there's even more to it. Yes.
Kind of different, but like maybe he like hoped and like he like in the back of his mind like hoped that like Yosef was alive, but like he didn't know what to fit in the labels. He was like a dream, like maybe he's still alive, but like,
okay,
like, for sure is like different.
But now he hears, so he says, I can't.
Like, who's like in shock.
Okay, the Seder, I hear, yeah.
Maybe he thought he was going to be not religious anymore, like, because he's, like, even if he was, like, someone that everyone was bowing down to, there was no indication he was going to be a Torah.
Okay. Okay, so there are a lot of possibilities. I want to suggest another possibility that wasn't mentioned yet, which I think there's something to. I suggest the following idea. Take a look carefully at the words of the Pasuk. When Yaakov reacts and says, it can't be, right? Let's take a look. This is Perek Mem, Hey Pasuk Abav. Ve'yagidu lo lemor. Od Yosef chai, v'chihu moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Ve'yafek libo, ki lohem yin lohem. What does he not believe? That Yosef is alive and he's Moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. After all, what was Yosef's dream? Yosef's dream was Yosef had this dream. Who is the Yosef that Yaakov knew? What was his dream? That his bushel was going to be in the center of all the bushels. That he was going to provide food for the whole family. And now, it's the years of the Ra'av. It's been 2 years of Ra'av already. Yosef knows that the brother, that the family, that they're all back in Canaan, hungry. Yosef is Moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, where all the food is. He's in control of the food. You know, if you would tell me, says Yaakov, that Yosef is, you know, in a hospital bed someplace, you know, and that's why he hasn't been, you know, hasn't gone in touch with us, or even if he couldn't, but there's nothing he could do for us. If you tell us that he's, you know, in some prison someplace, if you tell us that he's a slave for some Egyptian, I hear that. But Yosef, oh Yosef, chai b'chihu moshel b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, how could that be? He's in the position that he's dreamt about all his life, to provide for his family, to take care of their needs. And what? He hasn't done anything to... How could it be? And you'll see this is... I think it's clear that this is the pshat, because look at the continuation. Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Vayidabru elav ekol divrei Yosef asher diber aleihem. Vayart hagalot asher shalach Yosef laseit oto vatuchi ruach Yaakov avihem. It doesn't just say they saw the agalot, right? The Midrash focuses on the agalot, but he doesn't just see the agalot. He sees the agalot. What was the purpose of the agalot? To bring them down to Mitzrayim so he could take care of them. And he hears, Yaakov hears what Yosef said. What did Yosef say? Tell my father and to bring down the family to come to Mitzrayim because I'm going to take care of them and I'm going to, you know, and so on and so on. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to take care of them. Notice it's when Yaakov hears that Yosef's intent, so maybe I don't understand why it wasn't then and why it took so long, but I hear that Yosef's sending these agalot for the purpose of bringing us to Mitzrayim and he promises he's going to feed us and take care of us. So now I believe that Yosef. Now I believe that Yosef is alive and well and is the same Yosef that I knew from Canaan. And right? Then that's when Yaakov believes it. Seder? See what's going on? No? In other words, Yaakov says, how could it be that Yosef is alive and well and in a position and in charge of Mitzrayim, that he is the shalit on all of Eretz Mitzrayim, he's the in charge of all of Mitzrayim. How could it possibly be that the Yosef that I knew, who dreamt of taking care of his family, now it's the famine, now he's the person who's in the position to take care of us, he's not doing anything, right? So he doesn't believe that this doesn't fit with his knowledge of Yosef. Until he sees the agalot, and he hears what the agalot are for, and he hears what Yosef said, his intention is to bring them down to Mitzrayim to take care of them. That fits with the Yosef that he knew. Now let's go a step further. What is Egla Rufa? Okay, what's Egla Rufa? So, Egla Rufa, yeah.
I think it's like if they find it dead.
Right, we find dead by between two cities, right? And they measure to the closest city and they bring this Egla Rufa. Right? It's a quasi-korban, a whole story. Okay, we can go through the whole thing right now. But who has to bring this Egla Rufa?
The city that was closer?
Not just the city that's closer, but who from the city? What? The Zikne Betin, the Zikne Betin, okay, are the ones, and they are the ones who have to wash their hands and have to say, Yadeinu lo shafu et hadam azeh, veineinu lo ra'u, it wasn't our fault, we're not the ones who are responsible for this. Says the Mishnah and the Gemara in Sota, in Daf Lamed Chet, take a look at the bottom of the page. Barmer Yishub and Levi. Go on, sorry, we skipped that a little bit. It's like this. It's like this. Vamru Yadenu Shafu Damazeb. V'chialibenu Altash Zignei Betin Shofchei Damimheim. But these are the most likely suspects. The Zikenu Betin, that's who round up the likely suspects. These are who else we're going to gather. Ella. What are they saying? Why do they say Yadenu lo shafu et adam hazeh v'einenu lo ra'u? Lo bali Yadenu upatrinu v'lo ra'inuhu v'nichuhu. It's not, we're not responsible. We're saying that it's not that he came to our town and we didn't take care of him. Lo bali Yadenu upatrinu v'lo mizonot v'einuhu v'inachnunu v'inichuhu v'lo levaya. In other words, it's not that we didn't take care of him, that we didn't feed him, that we didn't escort him, etc. The central point of Egla Arufa, says the Mishnah and the Gemara in Sota, which is the main sugi of Egla Arufa. What is the essence of Egla Arufa? It's the idea that the leaders, that it's the responsibility of leaders to take care of the people in their zone of influence. That's what a leader is. That leader is responsible to take care of the welfare of the people in their domain. Right, that's the essence of Egla Rufa. And if we understand that, we understand how beautiful this midrash is. Let's go back and put together with what we saw in the Pesukim. You'll see that the Chazal is so beautiful. What happens? Yaakov Avinu says, I don't believe that this is Yosef. When does he believe that's Yosef? When he sees the Agalot. What are the Agalot? The Agalot are the transportation that Yosef sent to bring them down to Mitzrayim so that Yosef, as the leader, could take care of his people, right? That is, the leader of his family, he could take care of Bnei Yisrael. So he could take care of his father and his whole family. In other words, when Yaakov see, what were, let's go back a step. Yaakov and Yosef, what were they involved in? Look at the language of the Midrash. It's so beautiful. Im yamin lachem arei muta v'imla v'atem omrim lo b'shah sheperashti mimcha, when I separated from you. Lo b'parshat egla rufa hayiti oseg. Right, what was I involved in? What was Yosef involved in before he was taken away? He's involved in his dreams, right? He's involved in his dreams. And what was the essence of his dreams? About how his bushel was in the middle of all the other bushels. About how he was going to take care of his family. In other words, Egla Rufa. He's involved in the Egla Rufa. I mean that literally he was sitting there learning Masachat Sotor, Sefer Tzvarim. It means that he was, if you understand what Egla Rufa is, that's the issue that Yosef was involved in, and that Yosef was discussing with Yaakov when he was telling, it says, he told him his dreams, right? He was talking about his dreams. That's the parsha of Egla Rufa. And when does Yaakov see that it's the same Yosef? When he sees the Agalot, because the Agalot are the means by which Yosef is going to fulfill that dream. Right? That's how he's going to carry out this idea of the Parsha of Egla Rufa. Okay, we understand the Midrash now? Mamish Pshat, right? The Midrash is Mamish Pshat. You have to understand what the Midrash is saying, you have to understand what the Pesukim are saying. As always. Let's turn to side two. And I said before, we're not going to do everything, but I'd like to focus on a few things. But okay, one more point that I wanted to bring out. So the key symbol in the story of Yosef, right? If you were to ask any child to draw a picture of Yosef. So clearly, what they would do in order to show that's Yosef, what would they draw? Okay, the ketonet is clearly the... Yeah. Now, just very, very quickly, So the ketonet is very, very important. I'm going to say a word or two about the ketonet. We're not going to spend long on it, but just very quickly. But it's a very important aspect of understanding the whole Yosef story. So,
this idea that you need to talk about a different shiur, a different time, a different series. If you haven't shown it, not right now. But in any case, I'm just going to very quickly. So we have Yosef. Yosef, I want to discuss two elements about Yosef. One is the ketonet. Now, the ketonet, right, ketonet, in Torah, the ketonet, there are, in terms of Torah Shvachta, there are three basic contexts in which we have the ketonet, and they're all connected. Okay? It goes from one to the other to the other. All connected. The first context is? First context?
Adam.
Sorry, Adam, Chava, right? That's Adam and Chava, right? And that is, right, that where Hashem clothes them in Kotonot Or. Right? That's the first ketonet. Second ketonet is, of course, Yosef. And the third, Chazal put in a lot of other links, but the third is the Kohen. The second thing that I want to say about Yosef, we'll come back to this, and by the way, just to show you that these are very much related, okay? Again, I'll break Galachat. In the beginning, right, Yosef and Adam begins, Adam and Chava start off naked, right? Mm-hmm. And they are given, right, ketonet, got to know it, right? Why? As a result of what?
The word?
Because they sinned. Okay, if you look at Yosef, Yosef begins the story essentially with the ketonet, and in stages he loses his clothing, right? First he loses his ketonet, and then he loses his clothing entirely. And why does he end up at the end of the day standing there without his clothing? Because
he didn't sin.
Right? Because he didn't sin. Takes him 45. Okay? Which is just very interesting. It's something to think about. Okay? And I think it's not coincidental, but I think it's a very important idea there. In any case, right, the you have the idea of the coin. Now, and the ketonet is a very important symbol that I mentioned before, but it's a very important symbol. It's worth mentioning this very quickly because the ketonet, why does man need a ketonet? Why do Adam and Chava need a ketonet?
Because
they sinned. Because they ate from the Eitzad. Hashem told them don't. They ate from it anyhow. And Hashem doesn't say to them, well, I told you not to eat from the Eitzad, right? The fact that Hashem takes care of them and gives them the ketonet after they sin, but not just after they sin, but despite the fact that the reason they need it is because they didn't listen to him, shows a tremendous amount about God's caring for man in spite of fate. Right? And that's why it's such an important symbol for the Kohen. The Kohen, to a large degree, is the person who's involved in the issue of kapara, the issue of dealing with a response to fate. Yosef is referred to as, remember the brachot, he's referred to as Nazir Echav, correct? Remember that? Yosef referred to as Nazir Echav? Right? Tiena Rosh Hashanah, Kokon Nazir Echav. Remember that? Okay, it's called Nazir Echav. And there are different explanations of what Nazir Echav means. However, I think the simplest explanation is that if you look at a Nazir, what is a Nazir? Where's a Nazir, really?
Someone doesn't cut his hair.
Okay, doesn't cut his hair. Okay, so the halachot of Nazir relate to haircuts, relate to wine. What else do they relate to? One more area? Wine, haircuts, and... Not surprising that this is the last one you would think of, but... What's the third one? Relates to... Tumah, right? Tumah. Okay. Where do we have this constellation of halacha relating to wine and haircuts and tumah?
Haircuts.
Okay.
And what's the
sure, absolutely.
No,
I'm not saying no. They can't have their hair too long. And you know, depending on Kohen Gadol is one thing, and Kohen Hezer, but there are halacha that mandate how their hair is. Okay,
no.
The same constellation. No, I meant Kohen is in the avodah. But my point is that
They're not all saints. I'm just saying, Gadol, the idea of a Nazir, if you look, when it talks about the Kohanim, it talks about Nazir Alokav Al Rosho, as it does by a Kohen. Okay? The same language is used by Kohanim and Nazirim. And the point is that basically, a Nazir is a kind of a quasi Kohen. Right? And when you consider the fact that the defining image of Yosef is probably the Ketonet, right, that shouldn't surprise us. And there are so many things that connect between Yosef and the idea of Kahuna. He is not a Kohen in the genealogical sense like, you know, Levi. Kahuna doesn't come from Yosef in the sense of you know, a dynastic sense, but in the sense of his serving a role of a Kohen, and I'm going to explain what I mean by that in just a moment. Yosef is Nazir Achav. He's the Kohen amongst his brothers, not in the sense of the person who is Kohen because of his genealogy or because of, you know, his avoda and that type of thing, but rather because of the role he plays. So, you know, a Nazir is someone who is not, you know, born a Kohen, but, I mean, can be born a Kohen, lav davka, but don't do this at home. It's not advisable, and very strongly not advisable to undertake Nazirut b'smazeh, because we don't have the process of getting out of it, of ending it, you know, of terminating the process. But any man or woman could become, you know, any Jewish man or woman could become a Nazir. And what? Absolutely, 1,000%. It's a beferish and look in Chumash. It says explicitly. That's not like obscure. It says Isha Ishakin. It's very explicit. It's very explicit.
There's a famous one.
So the point is, but it's explicit in Bamidbar, that in the Parashat Naso, that Sefer Bamidbar, it's explicit. A man or woman could be a Nazir, and explicit in Chazal, Rambam, but it's in the pasuk. It's not at all subtle. The point is that it's the opportunity for anyone who wants to temporarily and partially become Kohen-like. That's the basic idea. In any case, without going to all the deep, you know, we're not discussing that, I just want to point out, Yosef is Nazir Achav. There are so many things that connect this idea. For example, who does Yosef marry? Right, Asnat, Bat Potifera, Kohen On, right? It's a Bat Kohen, not Bat Kohen necessarily in the same sense we use it, but he marries a Bat Kohen. In any case, there's so many things, but the key is, and by the way, there are Chazals that talk about the idea that, take a look at Ner HaSchalim, okay, a little bit more obscure Midrash. In any case, you look at Ner HaSchalim and towards the middle, or slightly below the middle of side two, Vayaz Hashem Elokim L'Adam L'Shto Katnot Or V'Yavishem, maybe just the highlights of it, Vilbisha Oto Rivka L'Yakov V'Iktonet HaPasim Shnatan Yaakov V'Yosef. Okay, meaning that there's a Chazal that the ketonet of Adam HaRishon, which represents the idea of kahuna, is passed down. It's what is given to Yaakov when he attains the Bechor. Of course, the Kohanim at that point are the firstborns, of course, right, the Bechor. And that's the ketonet that's given to the Begadim that's given to Yaakov. That's passed on to Yosef, the ketonet passed on. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity,
is
it the same ketonet that,
it,
like, Adam was able to, like, control the animals with?
So, I'm not saying that you necessarily right. take this literally, but my point is, it's about the idea of, you know, the fight over the Bechora and the chosenness and those ideas and how they work together. My point being, that Yosef's role is in Nazir Achav. Yosef is the Kohen amongst his brothers. That's what the Ketonet represents. And the reason for this is very simple, because ultimately the role of Yosef is the one to attain Kapara for his brothers, Davka from Mechirat Yosef. And it's fascinating and beautiful, I think, that Davka, the Ketonet, which is at the heart of, it's at the core of the jealousy and the reason why the brothers need kapara. That's also part of the symbol of the fact that Yosef is the one who Davka is mechaper for them. There is a tremendous dichotomy between the way that Yosef is trying to relate to his brothers and the understanding that the brothers have of his actions. Again, it goes back to that netziv of v'lo yachlu dabro l'shalom. Just want to conclude by just showing you, it's very interesting, you look at the bottom of, towards the bottom of this second side, Bereishit Chafzayin, Vayiston Esav et Yaakov al bracha asher bracho aviv, Vayomer Esav libo yikvu yimei evel aviv, arga et Yaakov achi. Why does Esav want to kill Yaakov? Because of the question of who's chosen, because of the bracha. The brothers, right, have the same attitude towards Yosef. That's their perception, that Yosef is trying to do to us what Yaakov did to Esav. And therefore, v'yemaru v'arovu v'yistimu balei chitzim. This is a description of the brothers' relationship to Yosef. Right? The same exact description as Esav to Yaakov because of this issue. That's the perception. And therefore, because that's how they look at Yosef, therefore, unfortunately, they project that onto Yosef, and therefore in Perek Nun, Vayiru Achei Yosef, Yosef's brothers are, right, they see that Kimet Avihem, that Yaakov died, Vayimru Lu Yistimenu Yosef, now Yosef is going to hate us. Vashev Yashiv Lanu et Kol Ara Asher Gamanu Oto, which of course is not what his intent was, but that is, we project onto others, as the Gemara in Kedushin says, who we are ourselves. And of course, Chazal at great length in Bereishit Rabbah and Parashat Mem Dalet talk about what we find in so many psukim in this parasha and many others. We have the parallelism in language and imagery between the struggle between Yaakov and Yosef. I'm sorry, between Yaakov and Esav on the one hand, and Yosef and his brothers on the other hand. However, the difference is that in reality, the struggle between Yaakov and Esav was over who would be the chosen one in an exclusive way, and the struggle between Yosef and his brothers, to the degree of the struggle, but really what it was about was who was going to be primary, not who. It wasn't an exclusive choice, it was rather a choice amongst the Shvatim, and that's a world of difference, and that distinction is what the brothers are not really perceiving, and hence it goes back to that distinction between Mikol Echav and Mikol Banav that's so critical over here. Okay, and again, the difference between the perception and the reality that causes so much of the hatred and jealousy that plays out throughout these parashiyot. In any case, my focus, again, as I said before, was really on trying to understand a little bit better Yosef and his approach and his role. Agav a little bit, seeing in the background a little bit about Yosef's brothers. Okay.